This is the third Sunday of Advent. Advent, the word means coming. Well, we celebrate the first coming of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. We have, in weeks before, the first Sunday of Advent, we light the prophet's candle, all the prophecies, 600 very specific, 613 to be exact, specific prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. Last week, the angel candle and the seven experiences of angels around the coming. Angel, the word means messenger, and that message that came over and over again about Jesus and his coming. Today, this candle is a different color. It's a celebration color, and I don't have Will here to light the candles for me. But it's the shepherd's candle, and we'll read the shepherd story. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. But Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be to all the people of the world. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, whose name is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and to Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. And Lord, today, on this third Sunday, when we celebrate the parts of the story about the Christ, our Savior, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to be our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for the people that you have used, these simple men, these shepherds, and their simple faith, and their simple testimony. We hear it and we share in it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty, guys and gals.
Let's go.
Give hope.
Glad you're here today as we celebrate Jesus every Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. We're celebrating his first coming at this time of the year. And today we wrap up, we finish after being several months in the theme of waking the dead. And I hope those of you who had not gotten hold of Eldridge's book, I hope you'll get your copy and read that. It's in my top 10 list outside of the Bible of all time, and I've read a bunch of books. but it's one of my favorite. He speaks my language. Today we're going to talk about treasure. your heart, treasure the kingdom. And we'll try to kind of wrap it all up. The streams that Eldridge talks about. We'll read several passages in just a moment, but some of you that are here today, we're sure glad you're here. Glad to have the Snyders here. Got three of our young ladies that have graduated. Allie, Rachel, and Amy. And, you know, praise the Lord for that. But parents are a lot happier than anybody else. That's why you see at those graduations, you know, parents acting like idiots. They're just so happy. And don't ask them what's going through their mind, because they might just tell you. Glad to have the Landolt Owen contingent here today. This is a well-traveled family. Military, missionaries, literally all over the world. They've spent a lot of time, and Rick's told me today he's on the way to a semi-retirement. I wonder what that's going to look like. Probably a lot of honeydew. But I know you're glad to have two of your children here today, Masako, and bless you today. All right. Bookends of Scripture. I chose a passage from the Proverbs, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, that bookend this message today. So let's look at these two first. Proverbs 4:23 from New American Standard. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Eldridge has been talking a lot in his book about the heart and how important your heart is. Then in John 7, Jesus says, "And anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the Scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Some of the translations take a little liberty on that, but that literally, I think, does a good job. The New Living does. They don't always do a great job, but on that one, they nailed it. The Scriptures declare rivers of living water flow from his heart. Let's pray. Now, Lord, today I'm asking you, as we've gathered here and we're in this room and the kids and all their leaders are in the back, God, I'm asking you today that our gathering here today as the church will be a blessing to you. And, Lord, you'll receive our praise that we give only to you. Lord, I'm asking you to speak to our heart. Speak to my heart right now, Lord, as we share this message. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Your heart is a treasure to God. That's the first application I want to share with you. Your heart is a treasure to God. Now, some of you grew up in families that you're still struggling to get over because you didn't feel treasured. And then you went out into the world and you got validation that you weren't treasured because people were taking advantage of you. That you couldn't trust people. And then you read in the Scripture, or you hear someone say or give a testimony, that your heart is treasured by God. Your inmost being, that God treasures you. Audrey and I have spent a lot of time together. That's my wife. Of 43 years. We spent a lot of time together recently. She told me one morning at the breakfast table, she said, well, I guess this has been our our dry run to see if we'll really be able to stand each other until Jesus comes for us. Because, you know, we didn't have children running around at that morning. The grandchildren weren't here. So it was just she and I just staring at each other over our eggs and bacon. And I looked at her and I thought, man, what a treasure God has given me in this woman. And literally, over this, when we found out that she had cancer, I just, as I prayed for her, prayed for her healing, and I asked God to speak to me about all of it. And one of the things that I kept hearing again and again in my prayer is, Dusty, what I'm expecting from you is for you to treasure her. Literally, that verb, to treasure her, to spend time with her. I know all guys can't do this, and you know I make my schedule every day, and you know thank God I've been that way. I don't know what I'd do if I had to do the same thing every day. It would kill me, but because I'm not wired that way. But I've made all but one of her doctor's appointments and tried to be there with her. When she woke up out of surgery and she opened her eyes, I knew who she was looking for. She was looking for me. Just like if I was in the same boat, I'd be looking for her. But imagine just for a moment how God must feel about us. That our heart, how we feel inside. I don't think God ever says, suck it up. I don't think that's in his vocabulary. Because I think God's always about loving us, showing that love, and us responding to that love from him. I don't think he ever says, get over it. I think he's always wanting to treasure us and has shown that through ways done. Listen to these verses again. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That's how God's wired us, that the springs of life flow from within. All this stuff can be happening around us. All the garbage is going on. But the springs of life are flowing from us. And then Jesus says, rivers of living water will flow from your heart. It comes out of you because of something that's happening inside. Secondly, Christmas shows the reality of this because Jesus came personally. Now, I know there's some people in the secular world that are going to say, well, how do you know that God loves you? Okay, just the facts, please. And here are the facts. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Facts. He came. He didn't have to. He came. And not only did he come, he didn't just show up. He showed up and lived the perfect life and then died alone on a cross in our place. Why did he step down out of heaven and step into flesh? That's the incarnation. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And the Word became flesh. You know, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the God-man. All God, all man at the same time. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you just like I can't explain the wind. But I know that to be the truth. Just like as long as my mother lived and breathed life on this earth, I knew one thing in my heart. that she loved me with all her heart. I never. And how did that come out? By what she did. Not just by what she said, but she showed me over and over. And here is God who has done this for us. Hence the Christmas story. Hence the reason why we do that live nativity every year. That lady I shared in earlier this morning, lady asked me the other night, why do y'all do this? I said, so children and adults can see the simple story. There it is. It's not complicated. You don't have to be an engineer to understand it. Phi Beta Kappa, you don't have to have 10 degrees. It's not a complicated story. It's a simple story of love. Christmas shows that because he came personally. Personally. I got a phone call back a few months ago. I'd been to my doctor of several decades. And the next day, I got a call from him. It was the next week, I got a call from him. He should remain nameless. And he said, I said, Doc, why are you calling me? He said, I'm calling to check on you. Well, I had a nitroglycerin tablet there, and I just slipped it under my tongue because I was about to have a heart attack right then. You know, when's the last time a doctor called to check on me? At my home, you know, and I said, well, what do you want to know? He said, well, I just want to check on you, see how you're doing, and to make sure you're doing what I told you to do. See, it was a two-pronged thing. He wanted to see how I was doing, but he also wanted to know if I was going to be obedient to what he told me to do. You see, that's personal, isn't it? Audrey got a call last week. We'd seen this doctor early in the day. He calls her that afternoon, and, you know, with all that's going on in our lives, you know, that's not something you think, man, the doctor's calling you. When he says, well, this is Dr. So-and-so, immediately, what does your heart do? He said, I'm calling to give you some good news. No chemotherapy. You can take a little pill. That's it. No radiation. No chemotherapy. I say that and say thank you to all of you who pray in her behalf. God bless you. Number three. The world, the flesh, and the devil are at war against your heart. Do you believe that? How many times this week has the world system just tried to jerk your heart out and stomp that sucker flat? How many times? How many times have you seen the work of the evil one and all of his henchmen, all of his representatives in the earth? They're just mashing on you to try to kill the spirit in you, to try to discourage you. And how many times has your own flesh there? You know you shouldn't turn that on. You know you shouldn't go to that website. You know you shouldn't go in that store. You know you shouldn't take the bait of that person that wants to aggravate the stew out of you, and they enjoy just turning those knobs and pushing those. You know you shouldn't do that, but you willingly give in to the flesh. I'm saying you here, and while I'm saying you here, you know how I know about all that? Because all that happened in my life. The same thing. There's a war going on. If you haven't gotten anything else from Eldridge's book as you read it, I hope you got that loud and clear. He normalizes that, doesn't put that in some category over here for the super spirituals to know, but for all of us rank and file to know that we're in a war in this earth. And it's a war for our soul. This war is happening. Some of you are dreading going to some family Christmas experiences because of this war. You're worried about how you're going to act, your own flesh. You're worried about how the world system's affecting some of your family members, some people you're going to be around, and then the wild card of this weird stuff seems to happen that seems always aimed at detracting me from Jesus and my faith in Him. I'm saying to you today, let's fight the battle like it is a battle. Let's take the initiative away from the world and the flesh, and let's be ready. Don't be surprised when you go to Walmart and people are running over you. I should have done it yesterday. We talked about this earlier today. I mean, three times I almost got run over in Walmart. There were people with a shopping cart. They thought they were on a cruiser, a battleship coming through Walmart, and I almost got in their way. As I was walking from Walmart yesterday, I thought, well, maybe what I should have taken a page out of Elf and just stood up on a box and started singing Christmas carols in the middle of Walmart and take the initiative away from all that garbage that goes on. And that's what I want to deputize you to do during this Christmas season. Right now, take the initiative away. Your heart matters to God, and the hearts of those around you matter, and the little kids and all the people in your life need to see that there is a victory that's bigger than what they can imagine in their lives. You don't have to sit back and take it anymore. You can take the initiative to the world and say, here is Jesus. Here's the love of Christ. Number four, you can't rightly love others until your heart has been restored. I'm sorry, but you just can't do it. Listen to me here. You can't give away what you don't possess. That forgiveness that comes from Jesus, that joy that comes from Him, that is that spring of those living waters. Go back to those two verses again, John. Let's see them again. I know I'm challenging you here, but you're the techno wizard. All right, see those two verses? Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flows. Your Christianity, your trust in Jesus is not something you put on and take off. It's something that flows out of you. Now I know we've got a few that aren't Georgia fans here. A few. I mean, I've even got on red socks today. They're Christmas socks, but they're also Georgia Christmas. A few weeks ago, in the middle of a contest where behemoths were crashing into one another, the dogs and whoever they were playing, I'm trying to remember which game it was, one of our guys got hurt. The quarterback for the Dogs, Jake Fromm, and another player, the camera briefly panned them. It's interesting how these commentators get lockjaw. They can know what the running back is thinking when he makes a cut. But here's Jake Fromm and another player are laying hands on this injured guy, and suddenly everybody in the booth has lockjaw about what's happening. And they bowed their heads, and what are they doing? They're taking it to the enemy. They're praying. They're asking God for his healing, for his word. In the middle of all the stuff that's going on, there they are praying. And God is answering that prayer. And see, they're squeezed. They're in the middle of this contest. But what really comes out at the end is what really matters in their heart. You see, all the stuff with the four streams, everything that the Eldridge talked about in his book, all that was so that we could receive healing, deliverance, help, discipleship from the Lord. Because you can't export it until you've imported. You can't give away what you don't possess. It'd be a good thing this Christmas season to receive what the Lord has for you. Oh, we got a lot of religious talk. We got a lot of us, you know, we can get all on our religious soapbox. But let me tell you, the people around you, they see through that garbage. They know what's real. Number five. Just treasure your heart. You see, when you receive that love of Jesus in your heart, you let him change you from the inside out. Let him turn things around. Let him deal with your attitude. Yeah, some of the most selfish people that I know in the world, self-centered people in the world, are people that claim to be Christians. What Gandhi say? I would have become a Christian had I not known so many. That's Dusty's loose translation of that. But see, when we see ourselves as God sees us, and we've received his gift of forgiveness, can you forgive yourself? Can you look back at your life and, yeah, we've all got regrets, but can you forgive yourself? Claim God's forgiveness and then emulate him by forgiving yourself. So that all the garbage of the world, the flesh, and the devil is cut off from your life and your heart. You can then begin to treasure your heart. Well, how do you do that? Now, we're all about guilt trips in religious circles, right? How do you take care of your heart? Let me give you an example. The hustle bustle of this season, if you're not careful, what happens is one of the most valuable things you have, your time, is robbed from you. Pickpocket on all this other stuff. How about a day when you can do absolutely nothing that the world say, oh, you're being productive. You're getting this done. How about just enjoying the time? Monday afternoon, I've shared this with a number of you.
I had helped very little with, in fact, this is probably my all-time low of my physical contribution to the live nativity. I wanted to go out there and just be on the property and spend some time. I'd go and get the hay, and I enjoy that. Enjoy seeing that guy over at the at Hester and Zipper on Skidaway. Same guy every year tells me, you know, you really don't need that hay. You can use straw. You're wasting that good hay. You could feed that to animals. I said, well, we will eventually, but I need it. Every year he tells me the same thing. Every year. So I wanted to strew the hay, get it right, and string those lights. Not, but most of all, what I wanted to do is I wanted it to be me and Jesus out there together. It became my little retreat. I was treasuring my heart because that's part of my heart. Since I was a little kid, at Crest Hill, I always wished we'd have a Christmas Eve service and we'd do a nativity scene. But we never could quite pull that off. So I decided when I was a little kid, when I got big, I was going to do that. We've been doing that a long time. And I drag y'all into my madness with that. And we have fun with it, don't we? It's a great thing. That's a way you can treasure your heart. Get off the merry-go-round. How about when you see that you're losing patience with the people that are in your life, the people you're supposed to love, and you know, why am I snapping at them? What's coming out? You see? What's coming out? Well, maybe it's time to back up and do a little examination. Let God look at you. Treasure your heart. Some of us grew up in religious circles where we were told, oh, you're evil. You're never going to be good. There's nothing good about it. I want you to know you were struck in God's image. He created you. He formed you in his image. And on that day, he didn't say it's good. What did he say? He said, it's very good. That's how he feels about it. If that wasn't enough, we screw it up, and then what does he do? He launches the greatest rescue mission in the history of mankind, and he comes himself and dies in our place. Oh, man, what a great story, because he treasures us. He treasures our heart. He treasures what's inside of us. And he wants to make it right. How will you treasure your heart now? What are you doing about it? Are you dwelling in your old presuppositions, the old lies, the things that people told you? That, oh, man, church, you know, it's just going to run you down. And there's some places that's exactly what they do. Unless you come out of a worship service with a guilt trip, they don't think they've worshiped God. Yeah, there's a time to say, yeah, I screwed up, but God has a better plan, a way. Man, I remember when I'd get caught doing something I wasn't supposed to do. Like the day on 59th Street, I was playing on the next block, and one of my friends came by, 6 years old, and said, Dusty, your mama has been screaming at the top of her lungs trying to call you home from your front porch. Boy, is she mad. I ran home as fast as I could, and I got there, and I had to face the music. I'd done exactly what she told me not to do. We got past that. You know, I had the application of discipline. We'll not talk about that. I prefer not to. Just suffice it to say it was a painful experience, but only briefly, because that night we were laughing and cutting up, and she was hugging me. You see, why'd she discipline me? Because she loved me. God treasures you. He is not about raining on your parade. He's the one who created you. And he has great good for you. That brings me to our last question. The big question of the day. How would you live differently if you realized your heart is a treasure of the kingdom? Would it change the way you live? If you knew that God loved you so much that he treasures you, that he wants your good, he wants to build you up, he wants to make you different. He wants to change your life and all for the good. How will that change your life? Will it be different? I had a teacher when I was in elementary school. I was convinced that she hated children. And I was one of them. Man, she ran us through the rigors. But I look back now, and even by the end of that year, I changed my opinion of her. I can still remember the things she required. She set the bar high for us. And again, she would say to us, "You're better than this. You're better than this. You can do a better job than you do now." She saw things in us little, fifth graders that, man, I couldn't see that in myself, but she could see it. I remember the Georgia notebook that we made where I studied. I learned just about everything I know about the state of Georgia history in fifth grade. Because of her. She took us on field trips. And I learned in phonics, history, mathematics. I look back and I thank God for that. Because she treasured us. She wasn't doing a job. She was performing a calling in her life. Is that the way you view what you do? Your life. You have a calling from him. And it is to know him and to make him known. And he is treasuring you. You are special. You'll hear this one more time. But to get to hear it from a little person makes a big difference. At Thanksgiving, we were visiting Meg and the boys. I've said this to you before. And Finley, my oldest, you're just going to have to be me for a minute. He comes up and he puts his hands on my face. And he looks at me and he says, "Poppy, I wish you could stay with me forever." Whew. He wasn't getting paid for that announcement. Nobody was manipulating him, pulling the strings. It was pure, unadulterated. she could stay with me forever. I immediately thought, you know, Jesus said the same thing to me when he put my faith in his hands. He said, Dusty, I want you to be with me forever. And that starts today. Eternal life is not after you die. It's now and forever. Do you get me, sweetheart? Let's pray. We'll open the altar. Rick and Regina, if y'all come and join me here. You want to come pray with one of us? If you have never received Jesus in your life, today's the day. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, may this be the day that you say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sin. Make me a new person. And he will. And for most of us in this room who've had a lot of different thoughts about God, do we really believe that he treasures us in the way that I've described to you today? He says, out of us will flow these springs of living water. That's my prayer for us in this Advent season. That's what will come out. We're here to pray with you today. If you want to come spend some time at the altar, go get another person to pray with you today, this is your time. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayer, for being with us. You are our Emmanuel. Now, Lord, may we be obedient to what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is in this room right now, is saying to us. Come, Jesus. Come now. The altar is open.
I come. I come. Thou. Thou. Me.
Get those cards from you, those basket back front here. You have an offering to bring, especially if you have that $1 million check we've been looking for, and a certified check. We especially want to see you today. We'll receive those now. Chief, will you and Lolo and your family come on up here? Gets me in Nigeria, but more importantly, gets me out of Nigeria. He bribes me in and bribes me out. Praise the Lord. Like Dr. Cho said in South Korea, cashy. On the 20th, they are going to celebrate the life of his mother, who, as you know, died several months ago, and they're having her funeral. Kennedy leaves today to travel back with all of his family. I wish we could be there. Please take plenty of pictures. But he is going to give greetings to the not only to the church in Owerri that we are part of planning, but the new church that has been planted in Nazi. And to Bethel Amati, the pastor there, the church planter, and they're going to be giving and receiving cows and all kinds of stuff. I don't understand all of it, but I want you to all the protocol but wanted us to lay hands on him as he goes. We want to send him out as, because he's going to be representing us there. I know it's his mother's funeral, but he'll be representing the Sycamore. So those of you who want to come and lay hands on Kendi at this time, you take care, make sure he gets that. We love you, Kennedy, Leslie, kids, with all our heart. Thank God for him bringing you all in our lives. We would have not been richer by all the relationships that we have with our brothers and sisters across the pond. And it's because of your faithfulness. And we bless you, and we want to send you out. So we anoint you again, our brother, in the name of Jesus. It is the power of God that brought you to him those years ago in Nigeria and brought you then to the United States. And Lord, you have guided their lives. I thank you that you brought them back from their Babylonian captivity out in Oklahoma, back to Savannah, where their base is, where they belong with their family. Only to send them out again and again on these trips and all this investment. Lord, I pray you'll bring comfort and healing to the family, Lord, as they mourn for the loss of this great woman of God, this woman who practiced in her life what came out of her mouth. Lord, for an investment of her children, her sons, who are spread out in the earth. And Lord, I know she is in the cloud of witnesses today. And Lord, I pray that many will be drawn to Christ because of the celebration of her homegoing in every way. Lord, I pray your protection over Kennedy as he goes. May he feel that and know the power of God and know that the Lord is with him. And Lord, I pray that that you will bless the Sycamore at NASI, Lord, that today, Lord, even now, as they finish their worship service today, that you'll bless Bethel and the entire congregation. You'll bless the Weary Church. Also, Lord, they'll feel that, know that. And Lord, speak to and through Kennedy and bring him back to us safely. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you agree with this prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go forth. We're through singing now. We send you out. Have fun in the name of Jesus.